Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having a terrific Thursday today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, doing absolutely wonderful. The weather here is stunningly beautiful. It's about 50 degrees outside, clear blue skies, no chemtrails, clean air. Really, really pretty. I mean, it's really like it's supposed to be in Florida this time of the year, but tonight it's going to drop down a little bit more. Tomorrow morning it's supposed to be at 32 degrees, so we had to cover up some of the citrus so it doesn't get frostbitten. But usually at 32, it's not too bad with it. But I want to start with a short story today because this is important. Our government now and the CIA, which is basically the government, and also the media, which is also the CIA, they've been running a lot of stories here recently about this gigantic Iranian protest that's going on in Iran. And this is an interesting article. I wanted to sign up, let you guys know this. Could the Iranian protests lead up to another CIA-directed coup? In 1953, the CIA and the British directed a coup known as Operation Ajax that overthrew the Iranian government after the populist leader Mossadegh nationalized oil fields. Declassified documents reveal the CIA busted in protesters and paid pro-Shah mobsters to rage riots. And I'm going to stop here for a second. This is one of these things that they're doing right now with Antifa. The CIA is deeply involved with this with George Soros as far as bringing in people who are protesting on buses. This is the same thing they've done all over the world. Now they're also doing it to us as far as anti-Trump protests. Declassified documents reveal that in Iran, the CIA back in 1953 bust in protesters and paid pro-Shah mobsters to stage riots. The Shah was put in power by our CIA and ruled successively for approximately 25 years, but was opposed by traditionalist religious leaders and was overthrown in 1979. Former U.S. President Jimmy Carter tried to stage another coup to restore U.S. control over the Iranian government, but it was unsuccessful, and 52 American citizens were taken hostage. In the 80s, Iraq invaded Iran. Now remember, when Iraq invaded Iran, we supplied Saddam Hussein with anthrax, and we gave him weaponized strains of anthrax, and we provided him surface-to-air missiles and all kinds of other armament to try to overthrow Iran. We did that. The United States did that. And then so in the 1980s, Iraq invaded Iran, and they lost the war. Saudi Arabia then aligned against Iran, which is because they're allies with Israel, and Iran has been attacking Iran for years, claiming that Iranians are causing violence in the Middle East, which is simply not true. The Truth Factory cat, the author of the report that we're quoting, believes all of this is merely a lead-up to another planned coup by the CIA and Mossad, or we can just say Israel, to bring a government of Iran and reverse its oil reserves under the U.S. and Israeli control, and to put in a central bank Rothschild control. So you need to look at what's going on over there and realize a lot of this happening right now is obfuscation, and the United States, again, is basically nation building and getting rid of another leader through regime change, the same as they did in Egypt, the same as they did in Libya. Here's another article. President Trump, neocons, Israel, Assad, and Saudi Arabia all support Iran regime change. I reported on this 3 weeks ago on this show when nobody else would touch this topic. And we kept telling you guys this is the truth. This is again from Griffin. Ron Paul says that President Trump, from the beginning of his campaign, has been opposed to Obama's nuclear deal with Iran and views that country as an enemy. This is despite the fact that the UN and EU inspectors report they have no nuclear weapons. Same as Saddam Hussein. Trump, Israel, and by the way, this is why we were so concerned about anthrax and biological weapons and weapons of mass destruction with Saddam Hussein as far as the biological weapons, because we had given these things to him. So apparently he had gotten rid of them before we invaded. Trump, Israel, Mossad, and Saudi Arabia support the current protests and are calling for regime change. The protests were coordinated across multiple cities throughout the country, supposedly over an increase in the price of eggs, but soon turned into demands to overthrow the government. Paul suggests that Trump's recent executive order allowing him to freeze the assets of foreigners may be put to use in this scenario. If all this follows the usual pattern, we may be seeing a false flag against civilians made to look like attacks by the government, again like we saw in Syria, information will be controlled by a corrupt media to fan the flames of public anger against this murderous regime, and the final regime change will be celebrated as a great victory for justice and liberty. Guys, this is the typical operation they've done over 60 times now. They've done this throughout the world in the last 70, 80 years. This is what they do, and this is how they spin it, and because they control the media, because they control the institutions of higher education, because they control the government of the United States, they get away with it over and over and over again. We have no more right fomenting a regime change in Iran than we do allowing California to have open borders into Mexico. I mean, there's no reason to do any of these things. So what's crazy about all of this stuff is that the American population is still so naive because of the media. They believe what they're watching on the mainstream news every night. But that trend is changing, and people are beginning to realize that they're being told additional lies. Remember, we had to go in and free the folks in Libya. We had to free the folks in Japan and in Egypt. We had to free the folks in Iraq. No. We had to get rid of their central banks, which were linked to the Rothschild banking cartel, which were stopping basically the implementation of a new world currency and a one world government under a one world currency under a one world dictatorial central bank. That's what they have to change. And that's what we have to keep our eyes on this ball all the time. We talked about this earlier this week when I talked about Dante's seventh level of hell, and the bankers are involved with that seventh level of hell, and also the sodomites are. Go back and listen to that show. I don't want to cover that again this week. And you can hear what we said about that and how we tied this all together with the international banking cartel. Austin, what do you think about this mess?
7 years ago, in Libya, with Gaddafi, exact same scenario essentially being played over again. People have to open their eyes up and look and see what's going on around us. We did the exact same thing. You need to watch that movie 13 Hours if you haven't seen it. We had a CIA black op base that wasn't even supposed to be there, funneling surface air missiles and who knows what else, from cash to drugs to children to everything those guys were involved in out there. Not all of the CIA operatives, but a lot of the stuff they were monitoring and overseeing over there. And the whole aspect of us having to throw out Gaddafi and do another regime change, the exact same scenario again. Remember how when that happened with the Benghazi attack, how everything on the news was, oh, there's all these protests and riots because of the videotape that got shown, the Muslim videotape. Hundreds of thousands of Muslims are protesting. That's why they attacked the ambassador. That's why they attacked the CIA compound site. Absolutely bulldinky. Complete and total fabricated lies, again, to make the American population believe that they had no idea what was going on. It just was a random spark from Muslims to go do all that over there. The exact same thing in my opinion is happening over in Iran right now. We have been beating the war drums on Iran for the last decade. Heavy, heavy, heavy. All you ever heard Obama talk about half the time was Iran. Now Trump's on the same thing. We got to invade Iran. We got to do this. We got to do that. We got to stop this. They need to do this. We're gonna help them out when the time's necessary. Whatever the excuse may be, we would be invading another basically sovereign country that does not have a Federal Reserve Bank. The issue with Iran is they have a very substantial military, and they also have Russia backing them full tilt. And Iran is a large, large landmass. Yep. So I really hope that we don't try to do some bogus full-scale invasion again like we did in Iraq. But as you see a lot of times where the warmongers and the globalists and all these neocons and everybody in the upper government like to do, once something starts, they like to start a war so they can obfuscate the truth of what's going on. In my opinion, that would be the easiest thing for them to do, is once we have a war, either they start a war over there or they start a economic collapse here. One or the other starts first and rolls into the other one, whatever direction it needs to go. That's how they do this stuff, and that way they can blame everything on either the economic collapse or they can blame it on the war. Either way, they win in the long run because they control the monetary supply and they take over another country that they completely capitalize on their entire industry that they have, from the oil to the land to everything, all the mines. And they put in a Federal Reserve central controlled bank, Dad. I've been calling this out in Iran for years. I've said, leave Iran alone. They don't want to nuke the United States. They know that if they did that, it would be completely and totally game over for them. But again, that is one of the last countries that we do not have a central bank in. So the proof's in the details, man.
Well, it is. I mean, look at this. We always want to obfuscate everything in the United States because of the CIA directives, because of what William Casey said, everything that we will know the CIA has done its job when everything that every American believes is a lie. I mean, we had, let me look at that, look at this, over the weekend, over this week, they had a big fire, destroyed a big portion of the Clintons' home up in the Northeast. And, you know, and so to me, when I see a big fire in a house like that, you know, basically it's a mansion, I personally believe that it was because there were certain records that needed to be destroyed. We know in Oklahoma City that they wanted to destroy the records on the Gulf War syndrome, and they wanted to destroy the records as far as the uranium that was being used there and the vaccinations and the anthrax vaccine and all of them, hundreds of thousands of soldiers that had had problems and side effects that make the government not culpable. We also know that when the Solomon building came down, the Building 7 in 9/11, it contained all of the records of the disaster that was Enron with Ken LaHaye and the hundreds of billions of dollars that were stolen from taxpayers over utility bills in California and the Southwest. We know when the Pentagon was hit by the missile, and I'm calling that out, and that wasn't a plane, I've had enough of that nonsense, was hit by the missile or whatever that thing was, it wasn't an airplane. It basically had the records of the $2.3 trillion that had disappeared. All that information and all the researchers were destroyed and killed in that particular armament of the Pentagon. And when Roe's law firm burned because of Clinton's involvement in Arkansas as far as running drugs in Arkansas, and they had all of the information as far as the money laundering, the drugs, etc., in the Roe's law firm, the entire floor of the Roe's law firm containing all of those records was torched and destroyed. This is what these guys do. They torch and burn. That's why they did in that movie you were talking about, 13 Hours in Benghazi, that everybody needs to see. They wanted the entire CIA compound destroyed. They had no idea those SEALs were going to go in and do what they did is shoot hundreds of people coming in to kill them. But they wanted everybody dead, every CIA employee dead. They wanted absolutely no culpability whatsoever in any of that. And you need to watch that movie, guys. This is what they do. It's basically turn and burn. And that's what they've done forever to cover the roads. They don't want anybody else coming in, like with John Kerry when he was running for president, another globalist, another skull and bones man. They didn't want John Kerry coming in and having what happened to him happen again when all of those Swift boat operators came in and said he was a total coward and a complete fraud and basically tore the election from his hands. They did not want to have that happening, and that's why the boys who were involved with the raid on Osama bin Laden, that fake raid and his death, they were all killed in that helicopter crash. All they do is cover themselves. Same thing with all the people that died. Over 100 people died around the Kennedy assassination over the next few years, who were the witnesses, who were making comments, who were being vocal about what they had seen. Over and over and over, we see this same exact scenario play out by our elected officials, who are controlled by our military-industrial complex, who are controlled by our CIA, who are controlled by the Sabbatean Kabbalist international banking cartels who answer to Lucifer. It's the way the pyramid works, guys, and that's who these clowns are who are doing all of this stuff. Austin, what do you think, and what's your next story?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, man. That's exactly how it continues to go, and that's why they had those mortars at the end of that movie. That's why Dad said you need to see it, because you'll see exactly what they had going on and how much force they had going into those guys, and they even directly called in a military base 15-minute flight away from Benghazi that had F-16s sitting on the runway. They show this in the movie, literally sitting there, ready to go, ready for takeoff, and all they called for is they said, please give us a low flyby. We don't need ordnance. We don't need anything. All we want is a low F-16 flyby to wake these guys up and let them know what exactly is about to come on top of them if they do not back off the compound. Completely and totally disregarded every single call for help because they wanted those guys to die. Also, too, in other news with health, this involves turmeric again. Seems like every time I turn around, turmeric's doing something awesome now. And this is a story from a lady who essentially completely eliminated stage 3 cancer using nothing but turmeric. And this is her words. This is actually published in the British Medical Journal, the Case Reports Archive. It was entitled Long-Term Stabilization of Myelinoma with Curcumin. The analysis, of course, didn't mention the word cure at all, is because the medical establishment can't say that. But they went on to say, according to the documentary authored by Dr. Abbas Zadai, he said, we just described a melanoma patient who started a daily dietary supplement of curcumin when approaching her third relapse. In the absence of further cancer treatment, the patient plateaued and has remained stable for the last 5 years with good quality of life. In other words, the woman eliminated all signs of cancer in her body by taking nothing more than heavy doses of curcumin supplement made from turmeric root. This is why Dad and I talk about turmeric so much. And guys, this is the British Medical Journal here. This is not me claiming this. This is not anything. This isn't Health Masters claiming this. This is the British Medical Journal blatantly saying that this lady chose to do turmeric therapy, curcumin therapy, on her third round instead of doing chemo and cancer therapy and completely got rid of that. So if you want to read that article, you can check it out. But that, again, goes to show you exactly why we talk about turmeric so much, how it helps the pancreas as far as the blood sugar, how it helps the cells in the body, how it protects the body against free radicals. It's an incredibly good product. Not only is it that, it's a great anti-inflammatory. If you get inflammation in your shoulder or a joint or something of that sort, or you're even sick, I told you guys a long time before, and Lana doesn't have an issue for years now, but when we first got married, she had a horrific issue with allergies, seasonal allergies in Florida, usually in Florida, February to March. The oaks here, if you guys live in Florida, you know we get a lot of pollen. We couldn't figure out what to do. Finally, Dad and I were looking at some stuff, and I said, man, turmeric's a super strong anti-inflammatory. Let's put her on a heavy dose of turmeric. And that's what we did. We put on a real aggressive dose of turmeric for about a month to see what it would do. And within 3 to 4 weeks of her being on that, it completely got rid of her allergies, 100%. It doesn't even really have to take turmeric at all anymore. Now, obviously, everybody's different. Everybody responds differently. But that's how it worked for her. And that really showed me about 4 or 5 years ago now and made me a true believer how effective turmeric is in almost everything. It's like turmeric and black seed oil. Those two right there should be staple supplements in your dietary supplement regime, Dad. That's just my, at least my personal opinion.
I know two people who worked with their medical doctors. In fact, they used the turmeric that we have on our website, same brand. One of them had a malignant glial brain tumor, and the other one, we talked about Katie, and she basically had breast cancer, and she's one of the real aggressive forms of breast cancer. And I remember they were taking up to 36 turmeric a day, up to bowel tolerance as far as their stomach, as much as they could handle it. They were doing like, I think it was like 9 of them 4 times a day. They were also adding vitamin C intravenously into their protocol. The doctor up there in South Carolina and the doctor up in Colorado both worked with these patients to do all of this stuff. And they also added potassium iodine and D3K2. They brought their D3 levels up to about 70, and they brought their potassium iodine levels up, and they were taking like 50 milligrams of potassium iodide for the first month and then dropped it back down to 12.5. And both of these people have had full, complete, and total remissions. I mean, I can't use the word cure because I guess we're not supposed to use that word, but they haven't had cancer in years. And same thing with this article. It doesn't say she was cured. It says basically that she has no longer been, she has a higher quality of life, right? She was supposed to be dead. Okay. And so you're not allowed to say cure when you talk about natural treatment protocols because the cure is kind of a patented word that's only supposed to be allowed to be used with drugs or being used with medical professionals. So let me put it to you this way. Katie no longer has cancer, and Paul has no longer had cancer for 5 years. They've tested negative, and quite frankly, neither one of them were given a good prognosis. And now here's this lady over there in Britain who basically, they say, corrected this condition where she's been cancer-free now for 5 years. That's her third bout with this. So guys, if this works this well, I take this stuff all the time. I mean, I take it every week. I probably take it 4 or 5 days a week. I'll take about 6 or 8 capsules, and it does a great, great job. I know this past weekend I tore my shoulder up. Oh, man, I was hurting real bad over Christmas. And I just started hammering the black seed oil, and I started hammering the turmeric. And I was also rubbing it down every day like 3 or 4 times with magnesium oil that we have at the office. And all of a sudden, you know, it starts feeling a little bit better. Well, then I added the doggone joint support to it. And the next day it was like, wow, unbelievable difference. And about 4 days on joint support and those other supplements, I was back 100%. I mean, it was bad enough. I thought I was going to get an MRI. I thought I'd injured it. But it's 100% back down to normal. I'm working out same as I did before this little injury happened, you know, over Christmas. And see, this is the point. If you have the right nutrients and high enough concentrations, your body in almost every single case can take care of the problem itself. Our body is constantly fighting off cancer. Our body literally gets cancer every single day, but our body recognizes it as an invader, and the body comes in and gets rid of the cancer. The white blood cells get rid of the cancer. And this is the problem when you overload the immune system with immunizations and antibiotics. It affects the immune system in such a deleterious way that it can't do what it needs to do, especially with the immunizations, because it's constantly trying to create antibodies against all these quote-unquote foreign invaders of all this dead protein they've injected into you, and you have a very impaired immune system. That's why these kids get all these immunizations, in many cases have a horrible immune system, and they stay sick all the time with ear infections, headaches, you know, runny nose, allergies, asthma. The list goes on and on and on and on because their immune system's not staying frosty like it needs to. By the way, here's another article that I thought was very, very fascinating. It says, the dark and light side of food as information and how dietary RNAs directly impact gene expression. Now you're saying, what is all this about? Well, it deals with the doggone what they're doing right now and what they're allowing us to put into the food supply. And this is one of the big things that I want to question right now is the safety of Monsanto Dow's newly approved Frankenfood, the RNAi corn. Now it's being called into question because they're saying that what this stuff does, it actually goes in through epigenetics and it changes the sequence of the cells in our body and changes our DNA. I warned you about this years ago, and now the science is coming out and saying the same thing over and over. And it says, quote, this more open access model would permit the species to alter and affect another's phenotype, another person's, in real time, along with potentially altering its long-term evolutionary trajectory by affecting epigenetic inheritance patterns, in other words, to the 12th generation. This speaks to a co-evolutionary and cooperative model with all the areas of the tree of life co-developing in a highly complex and seemingly highly intelligent, very orchestrated manner. What all that means is this. They're intentionally changing your DNA through GMO foods, period. And that's why you can't eat this stuff. You can't eat GMO corn that's been actually being labeled as a pesticide. It's all part of the eugenics protocol. This is why they're going in many countries now, and they're mandating that the only seed that these farmers can use is being made by Monsanto, which is all GMO. It's changing the DNA of the people on this planet. This is exactly what the fallen angels did in Genesis chapter 6 with their inbreeding and DNA changes and all the things they were doing to human beings. Guys, it's all about destroying everything that God made pure on this planet because they completely and totally loathe Yahweh. Period. Their God is Lucifer. They don't like Yahweh, they hate Yahweh, and they want to destroy everything he's ever done. That's why they're doing this. There is no other reason for this. They're trying to literally change the DNA of the entire planet, of the human genome. They did it before Genesis chapter 6, when every thought of every man was evil all of the time. That's where they want to go back to, and now we're seeing the research showing the dark side of RNA and the food they're putting into your bodies. This is the one thing they've been doing for years now with chemtrails. They've been spraying this RNA that we're inhaling, and now they're actually putting it into our food supply. This is a problem, Austin. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. This is something that's been going on for years, and I've talked to a lot of people recently, and they've been so curious on why the orange groves have been dying in Central Florida. Because when I was a kid, you know, where I lived at, it was orange groves everywhere. And, I mean, they were rich, full, green leaf, big, plump oranges. And, I mean, I have to admit, even when I was younger, we'd take our bicycles out sometimes. We'd sneak in some of the orange groves and pull an orange off or two during the summer when it was so hot. And, I mean, they were some of the best oranges you've ever had. And slowly, over the last 25, 30 years now, the orange groves have completely been decimated in Central Florida. You come out to where we live or any of the areas, the orange groves that are left that are actually up look almost like skeletons. They look lethargic. They look unhealthy. They're sickly. They're most of the time, on a rare occasion, not producing any type of good, legitimate fruit. So what they're doing is now most of the grove owners are selling the property because it's worth so much now. And, of course, they're turning around and putting subdivisions in it. And Dad and I have talked for years about why this has happened because there's really been nothing. Some people are like, oh, well, the weather's changed. The weather hasn't changed in Florida. We always get all types of different cyclical changes over 5-6 years here. But the only thing that has changed that we've ever been able to figure out is, A, the showing up of the GMO foods now that they're putting everywhere and the chemtrail spraying on a regular basis all over the entire country. And when you start looking at this stuff, and we have water tests, rain sample tests on our website. You can go look at right now if you're a new listener. If you haven't heard of chemtrails or the geoengineering spray and you see the planes in the sky that literally spray grid back and forth, not contrails, not a little contrail behind a normal jet. I'm talking grids that look like a checkerboard some afternoons. And so we went and tested the water, the rainwater. We put glasses out that were completely cleaned out with distilled water, completely empty, put them out right before it rained and let it rain in them. Right after they had done massive chemtrail spraying for about 2 days. And you can look at the numbers, the barium and aluminum amounts in the rainwater off the charts. Now, in Central Florida, where we're at, there's not really any significant industrial pollutants out here. We're pretty clean where we're at. We get a heavy sea breeze throughout the whole state of Florida. So why in the world are we having aluminum in the rainwater that's 5 and 10 times higher than what's even legally allowed by the EPA in drinking water? The only plausible solution is it's being sprayed in the air. Well, when you start spraying crops like that with heavy amounts of aluminum, they're not going to last. So the only thing that I have now, my only, I guess, option that we can figure out is they're going to come out very shortly soon with some type of Monsanto Roundup-resistant, aluminum-resistant crop that's going to be able to grow in basically anything, I guess. The stuff that they're growing now is so void of any type of clean nutrients, any type of quality, it's embarrassing. But that's what they're trying to do, and they're doing it further and further and further as much as they can. Even now, a sugar trailer hose, which is basically it's a sugar that nobody really knows, nobody uses a whole lot of, but a lot of companies have used it now in packaged foods as well. They're finding out now that two bacteria strains have plagued hospitals around the country, and it's partially fueled by the sugar additive that's in this food. So we see this stuff that's going on and on with the GMOs, with the Roundup, with the chemtrails, with the sucralose, with the aspartame, all this stuff that's being bombarded in our systems on a regular basis. You have to right now more than ever do the best you can to keep a clean diet, and also too, make sure you're having regular bowel movements. That's a huge aspect, because anytime your body starts getting plugged up or constipated, it can make it very difficult to eliminate any toxins that are in your system, and you can in turn getting sick and run down. So that's a huge thing. We have the Fiberline. We also have the magnesium brain food, which in high doses, Dad's told me, that can actually act as a laxative. And so that's a very good formula, not only healthy for the brain and the heart, but it can also help with that as far as with bowels as well, Dad.
Absolutely, Austin. Now, by the way, Planned Parenthood last year aborted 321,384 babies.
Golly.
And they got $543 million in taxpayer money. I mean, I don't really know what to say about this. That equates to close to $2,000 apparently from each abortion that we paid in taxes. In other words, when the IRS put the gun to your head and said you're going to pay us the taxes this year, or we're going to lock you up and take your stuff, they took the money and they gave about $2,000 to Planned Parenthood for each child they killed. This is crazy. I mean, this is not okay, and this is just absolutely nuts that we, the American population, is still being forced. Or are still being forced to do this. This is absolutely crazy to me that Donald Trump has not come in here and completely and totally eliminated this $543 million subsidy on these hundreds of thousands of babies that were murdered last year. And it really ticks me off that my tax-paying dollars are being spent for this, Austin. What do you think?
It's pretty frustrating, bud. $500 million of taxpayer funds have gone to support abortions with these guys. That's a boggling number, especially when you understand what it is exactly they do in those clinics. And we've talked about it in detail. I don't really want to go into detail with it. It just makes me nauseous. But it's sick that they're forcing us to subsidize this. They've been doing it for years and years and years. Obviously, there's no stopping it as far as right now. They're not going to let it stop. The guys at the top of the government and the globalists, they love this stuff. Then, of course, remember, on top of this, Planned Parenthood, as they've already been busted on camera admitting this, that they sell the body parts from the abortions and make money on them, and they get all types of huge bonuses. Some of the guys making over $100,000+ a year just in bonuses from the sale of these parts. That makes it even sicker, because you understand that they don't need taxpayer funds if they want to engage in this sadistic behavior. They could easily fund it themselves, but again, that way they have this weird satanic aspect to it. Is they're essentially making you subsidize abortions, whether you want to or not. Their money is fungible, as Dad has said so many times. Money is fungible, meaning that $500 million that they're getting, they may say, well, that's only going to the actual building, the facility, and the pay for the, you know, the workers there. That's going for the electric bill. What doesn't matter. If that money is going to this or is going to that, that means it's subsidizing abortions directly in one way, shape, or form. And that's something that all of us as Americans should not be okay with, especially when it's to this level now. I mean, we're not talking like they got $50,000 last year in subsidies. That's already too much. We're talking $500 million now, Dad. That boggles my mind. I haven't heard that number yet. That's insane.
It is. And just listen to this one. Here's my favorite country to pick on, which would be Germany. I guess the reason I like to pick on Germany. Well, you guys, you, believe me or not, that's the number one that I pick on is Germany, because I cannot believe how far down the slippery slope of nauseam Germany has slid, and it really frustrates me so much to know that my mother's country has allowed this to happen, because it's sad. Germany is now saying they must allow third gender from birth, the top court rules. In other words, they have to recognize a third gender, like on their birth certificates or on their paperwork or on their driver's license, because they're being forced by the government and by the courts to legally recognize third genders, which is not any, it makes no sense to me. Okay. You're either born a man or you're born a girl. Now, you're a boy or a girl. Now, the problem with this is they've blurred the lines with hormones. They've blurred the lines. I've talked about it dozens of times on the show and how they mess with women who are pregnant by giving them extra estrogen, which blurs the lines of the testosterone and the estrogen basically is antagonistic to the testosterone, and that little boy is not born properly developed because he didn't get enough testosterone from his mother. They're doing this on purpose. They're doing this on purpose because they don't want human beings reproducing like we are. They want to change the reproductive cycles of humans. They want girls to go into premature menopause. They call it ovarian failure, which basically is caused primarily now from the Gardasil vaccine. They're doing everything they possibly can to wipe out the white race. They're bringing in huge amounts of people from other countries, in third world countries that continue to massively, massively overpopulate their areas. 100 million people every year born into the world on top of the ones who died, but plus 100 million. All of it from third world countries. All of it. And the problem is they really loathe white people. I don't know why. Gosh, I mean, it's so stupid to me. I mean, nobody can help what color their skin is. And for these guys to be so, well, yeah, I do know why. I do know why. Let me tell you why they do this, because I'm thinking through that for a second. The Holy Spirit just checked me. They do. Here's why. Because they have an atavistic hatred of white people, because the white people are the Christians. The white people are the Protestants. The white people are the ones in Europe that basically developed all of the industry and all of the cultural things they have in Europe. The white people were the ones who imposed Christianity basically all over the planet, and they don't believe that we have a right to impose our beliefs, our values about our God and the true God, Yahweh and Yeshua, on the rest of the planet, and they would do everything they can to extinguish that flame that we have pushed so hard for so many hundreds of years, if not so many thousands of years now, since ancient Rome and the resurrection of Christ. That's why they hate us so much. They want to get rid of white people, because white people have a lot of chutzpah. You know, unless you dumb them down with immunizations and dumb them down with fluoride, they want to get things changed. They want to get things fixed. And they don't want us getting things changed. They don't want us getting things fixed. So it's an all-out war against white people. Why? Because of the atavistic hatred they have towards us for generational after generational after generational, because we quote-unquote imposed our values on them. This is what Freud said. Sigmund Freud, who was a Sabbatean Kabbalist, I mentioned this earlier this week, he said that the white people, the Christians, the Protestants, have absolutely no right to tell the rest of the world how or what they should believe, because Freud was a Satanist. He was a Luciferian, and he basically wanted the kingdom of Lucifer to come in. He did everything he could from a cultural standpoint to pervert society. This is why they hate white people. There you go. Now you've got the answer. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, that's definitely what they're pushing for. I mean, that's why they're trying to do so much as well, to get rid of the normal, strong, heterosexual male as well. Because they're not even doing that necessarily towards whites. It's anything, whether you're Hispanic, whether you're Chinese, whether you're black, whether you're white. They don't want that strong, alpha, heterosexual male to have any type of say in anything that goes on anymore, even to the point now, University of Georgia, the University of Georgia, Bulldogs, LGBT Resource Center has now produced how-to guides on pamphlet and online on pronoun usage in an effort to promote the language on campus. And you go, okay, pronoun usage, what are they talking about? Oh, this is what they're talking about. Again, the pamphlet includes a chart listing both traditional and gender-neutral pronouns, along with a worksheet to help students practice using each one as a subject, object, possessive, possessive pronoun, and reflexive. Instead of using he or she, for example, the chart suggests they, z, a, e, per, v, ver. This is ridiculous. I mean, some of these are just butchering the English language. Then it accompanies how-to guide, provides example sentences directing students to fill in the blank with a pronoun from the appropriate numbered column. This boggles my mind. And then it goes on even further. It says, First off, it isn't rude to ask someone what their pronouns are. Ask away. They will be glad that you care enough to get it right. Introduce yourself with a name and your pronouns so that others will feel comfortable around you. If they do not know and have not asked, use they, them, and their. This is what they're trying to do, as Dad just put it. They want to completely and totally ruin, essentially grenade, the basic morals and ethics and overall true scientific biology now, because now you have these people that are saying, oh, I'm this gender and that gender and I'm four and five different genders. And, you know, it's kind of the point now where you go, okay, well, how about I identify as a lion now? I identify as a lion. I feel like I'm a lion today, and if you don't call me Sir Lion, I'm offended, and you're committing an act of violence against me. That's where it's going. But one thing that I've talked about months ago, and this is continuing, we're seeing this more and more and more now, one of the main reasons why they're pushing this agenda so hard to completely get rid of the gender aspect. The next thing we're seeing now is, I just talked about in, I forgot what university it was. I think it was up at Brown University. I talked about it last week. That you can put down any race, any basically, whether you're black, you're Hispanic, doesn't matter what it is, you can put down anything you identify as on your application and they will accept it. The next aspect of what we're talking about, we're seeing this in gender dysmorphic disorder and a lot of these different aspects of it, is the next thing they say is, well, I'm not a 24-year-old male, I'm a 12-year-old girl. And with the logic and reason that the liberals are pushing with this entire pronoun aspect and this LGBT whatever aspect, is that you have to accept it. So if a grown 40-year-old pedophile says, well, listen, guys, I'm not a 40-year-old man, I'm a 12-year-old girl, and as a 12-year-old girl, I want to hang out and I want to touch this other 12-year-old boy, it's offensive to tell me I can't do that because I identify as a 12-year-old girl. That is what they're going to in the next couple steps. And I've told people that, and they go, that's bizarre. That's nuts. Guys, do you really think we'd be having discussions about pronouns and committing acts of violence against people if we don't use the correct pronoun on college campuses? If I would have brought this up 15, 20 years ago in the 90s, and I told you guys this, everybody would have laughed at me. I never would have thought it. I was a young kid. Dad never would have thought it. Nobody would have thought it. How far we've dropped in the last 15 to 20 years with this now. That's where it's going to go over the next 5 to 10 to 15 years, where you're going to be able to identify at whatever you want, whenever you want, and essentially the laws as far as pedophilia and all the other weird stuff that the globalists like will be completely null and void because of these laws they're putting on the books now to protect these transgender individuals that seriously just have a mental disorder, Dad.
This is because of the hellish Barack Obama, the gay Kenyan, and his tranny wife.
Yeah.
That's what, no, guys, this wasn't like this 8-9 years ago. It's gone downhill so fast in the last 9 years because of the gay Kenyan and the tranny. I mean, this is who did this, because they did the bidding of these Sabbateans to the nth degree. They made sure they got them in the military. They made sure they started doing all this whacked out stuff in these universities. And guys, you got to really think through this with your kids. Do you really want to send them to a major university that's not Christ-based, that's going to be teaching all of this junk? You got to walk through it in your head and say, well, I really don't want to do that. Well, okay, you probably don't need to do that if you're going to do that, because quite frankly, it's one of those things. You got to really reevaluate what you're involved in, what your children are involved in, and what the long-term benefit of to the child or detriment to the child is going to be. It's really, really important. By the way, calorie restriction has now shown to reverse type 2 diabetes. We've known this for many, many years. We've talked about it over and over again, that when someone consumes huge amounts of calories, their body simply can't process those calories properly, and now they're seeing a reversal of type 2 diabetes when these people are basically reducing the caloric intake. This is why I always tell folks when they go on a caloric intake reduction, I say, look, if you want to weigh 160 pounds and you're a man, multiply that by 10, that's 1,600 calories a day. Consume 1,600 calories a day divided over six different meals. Allow your body the ability to process the food you're putting into your system. But here's another interesting article on diabetes which ties directly to this. It's now showing that iodine supplements are being used successfully for diabetes and other diseases at higher dosing. I've never read this before, and I thought this was extremely good. The importance of iodine supplementation is a topic found in the alternative health media, mostly to regulate thyroid activity. But the balance and importance of iodine for other organs and its function as a disease fighter and preventative are not well known. That's why it's so important for the immune system. the fact that all of our cells can use large amounts of iodine for optimal functioning. Now, what they're doing here is they took a lady who was massively overweight. She was a 320-pound woman. Her blood sugars were at 1,380, Austin. I am shocked she wasn't in a diabetic coma. Okay? I am shocked she wasn't in a coma. And they put her on 50 milligrams of potassium iodide a day, which is four of our capsules. Four of those a day, high blood sugar. 4 weeks later, her glucometer readings were at 98, and she was off all her diabetes medications, including insulin. I've never read stuff like this before. All off potassium iodide. 2 years later, and now 70 pounds lighter, that woman was still maintaining excellent glucose readings with her high daily dosage of 50 milligrams of iodine. Since that case, we have now begun to realize that even 12.5 milligrams in people that are diabetic may not be high enough. Six other people were also able to completely wean off pharmaceutical diabetes medications and still be able to maintain a hemoglobin of less than 5.8 with the average random blood sugar less than 100. To this date, the patients continue to have excellent control of their type 2 diabetes with primarily the primary thing they did was increasing their potassium iodide to 50 milligrams a day. Guys, this is some breakthrough research that I just quoted with you guys today. I mean, this is pretty amazing. Now, do I suggest that everybody with high blood sugar starts off with 50 milligrams of iodine a day? Absolutely not. I would never suggest that. But what I am suggesting is this. Make sure you take your 12.5 milligrams a day. If you have good results with that, you can take 25 milligrams a day. And you can work with your local medical doctor in raising it up to that 50 milligrams and monitor your glucose very, very, very carefully because you don't want it to drop too low too fast. Plus, it's also going to speed up the thyroid. A lot of the reasons all of these things are happening to people all over the country is because of the massive amount of fluorine and chlorine and bromine that they're being exposed to in the water and in the air and their swimming pools and their breads and the products they're eating because the body thinks these are halogens that directly affect the thyroid, which directly affects iodine, which directly affects the pancreas and directly affects a lot of other organs. Now we're finding out that you have to have optimal amounts of iodine in your diet every single day. So what a breakthrough story this one was, Austin.
Absolutely. And one aspect, I mean, even just iodine in general, I mean, a large portion of Americans live beside some type of nuclear reactor. I mean, if there were ever a catastrophic event around there, you always want to have iodine on tap. I mean, we're in Florida. I think we have two of them down here. We got one of them that's like on the tip of Florida, on the bottom of it. I don't know who the genius was decided to put it there, especially with how many hurricanes we get. But it seems to handle it most of the time, even though I think 2 years ago they tested the water and they were found that it was massively leaking radioactive water into the bay. But other than that, it's going good. But having iodine on hand on a regular basis is always good. Not only to take it for regular health, like that was just saying, but have it as a backup. Always keep an extra bottle on tap in the event you need some. I think you can double check online on our website, but if I'm not mistaken, I think somewhere around 50 to 70 milligrams per day if you're exposed to any type of radioactive material significantly helps the block the absorption of radiation into the thyroid when you take that level of iodine in the system. Again, you wouldn't take that every day for an extended long period of time, but of course you have to judge the situation. But we have the chart on our website actually because we've talked about it in detail before. But yeah, that's a pretty wild article, Dad. That's definitely awesome.
Here's another one, four nutrients to combat kidney disease. That's one of the biggest questions I get all the time. I've got problems with my kidneys. What can you do? You know, what can you take? Well, the biggest problem that you have with kidney disease is this. When you're working with a nephrologist, they really are very careful of what they allow you to take because chronic kidney disease is extremely dangerous and you can die from it if you don't get a transplant. But now we've found that coenzyme Q10 has caused the slowing of kidney disease in over 80% of patients. Now make sure you get the good coenzyme Q10, not the cheap one. We have the good one only. We only have this good one. Also, methylated B complex vitamins are also shown to protect the kidneys, especially vitamin B6 really helps to eliminate harmful molecules formed during the oxidation of fats and helps to protect the kidneys. Also, alpha lipoic acid supports kidney health, which is super important, and vitamin E can enhance kidney function in diabetic patients because it's shown it's a potent antioxidant and an anti-inflammatory property, and it helps to improve kidney function. I also believe that vitamin E helps kidney function because vitamin E is a blood thinner, and the kidneys have to filter the blood. And if the blood is sluggish and thick like molasses rather than like water, it's going to be much more difficult to go through the kidneys as far as proper filtration, and the vitamin E will help that. I also believe cod liver oil should be used for that, and I also believe you should be drinking enough water every single day to make sure your blood doesn't get too thick, which means 50% of your ideal body weight in ounces. So if you weigh 200 pounds, at least 100 ounces of water a day, which is 10 ounce glasses every single day. That really helps kidney function too. But make sure that water is distilled. We have the distillation systems at the office. Do not use tap water or groundwater, which is contaminated with glyphosate and atrazine, or city water, which has been contaminated with aluminum and fluorine, and who knows what else they put into that mess. Make sure you're only using good, high-quality water if you've got issue with your kidneys. Why? Kidneys are a filter. You're either going to use a filter, you're going to clean it up before you drink it, or your filter, your body has to handle it and filter it back out itself. And with impaired kidney function, you don't need to be making it worse, Austin. What do you think?
Absolutely. And what do you think about the organic beet juice powder that we're about to have back in stock? I know that's pretty good for kidneys. It'll detox the liver as well. What do you think about that stuff?
Either one of those, because, you know, because they also really help to oxygenate the blood too. But the kidneys, the organic beet juice is going to be used, it's going to be primarily better. It's going to be primarily used for keeping the liver cleansed out. Not so much for the kidneys, I take two scoops of it every single day. And there's multiple reasons I take the beet powder. I take it in my protein shake every single day. There's a recipe for the protein shake online. Number one, it makes the protein shake like a dark burgundy, dark red, which makes it look like it's like a strawberry smoothie, and it makes it look really good, and it makes it taste better to me because it looks good. Because quite frankly, if it's kind of gray and green, it looks kind of nasty. So I don't like the way it looks. That's number one. Now, I'm just being honest with you guys. That's one of the reasons I use it. And number two is because I like the way it works. It helps to increase blood flow. It has a lot of nitric oxide in it. It really works well when you supplement it with the HGH Stimulate, and it's a phenomenal product to use as a liver cleanse every single day to keep your liver really healthy, because your liver needs some help. We're eating too much junk. We're breathing too much junk. We're taking in too much junk, and our liver has to process all of this mess. It goes through the liver, has to be filtered and cleansed and cleaned back out of the body, and so it's really important if we can keep that liver working well. It's really important to keep it working well all of our life. When we die, Austin, we're supposed to be walking around at 90 years old, feeling pretty good, and it's kind of say, well, it's time to check out tonight, and I get to leave. Or 100 years old, or whatever. You pick a number, 120. It's not one of these things that we're supposed to lay around in a nursing home for 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 years, or in assisted living that we don't even remember who our friends are anymore for 20 or 30 years, wondering what in the world we're doing there because we don't remember anything before that. That's not, to me, a quality of life, nor is that a quality of death. I don't like any of that. That's not what God called us here for. It's like in the Old Testament, you hear these guys, well, it's time to die. Call these guys in. I'm going to give them my blessings, and I'm going to check out. That's how it's supposed to be. I think we should be able to, in one way or another, our DNA should have been at a point developed that God gave us in the beginning, that when we decided to check out to go be with Him, we could just flip off the switch and be done. But this living like we live now in nursing homes, and this debilitation, and this senile dementia, and this Alzheimer's disease, that's all from the pit of hell, period. And that's all it's from. And quite frankly, as far as I'm concerned, I just do not live that way. And that's why I'm doing everything I can in my 60s now to maintain top mental acuity and top physical health to the best of my ability. Austin, what do you think?
Absolutely, man. And this is funny, as we were talking about water a second ago. This is almost a funny article, if it wasn't true now. Silicon Valley, which they always are just, they like weird stuff out there regardless, and they always seem to be obsessed with health, or at least the appearance of health half the time. You could see evidence of that now in a new internet-connected medical breakthrough that they're all starting to claim in Silicon Valley, and they're talking about raw water. I kid you not, raw water. So I'm going, okay, raw water. What is this now? Raw water. So they're talking about going out to areas that basically have springs and rivers and little waterfalls and filling up these big 5-gallon jugs with this raw water and basically bottling it and selling it. And it's the new raw water trend that's supposedly great for your body. The problem is it's untreated, unfiltered water that's pulled right out of the rivers and streams and basically waterfalls that have no idea what's in it. It's not being tested whatsoever. Not to mention it's usually full of organic minerals like just raw calcium. And they're trying to sell it to people now, and they say it's pretty much raw water. It's the best way to go now because this is the raw water that's from the earth and it's untreated and it's the best thing for you. I have a feeling the EPA is going to step in on this pretty soon now just for the fact that you can't be bottling water out of random rivers and waterfalls and selling it as raw water and expecting people to be healthy on it. A lot of that stuff is contaminated with what you were just talking about, Dad, with runoff from groves, with atrazine, the Roundup, to who knows what other kind of toxic chemicals. But again, Silicon Valley, they like to be obsessed with at least the appearance of health. So I thought that was pretty funny as when I saw an article today.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's better than drinking water with fluorine and chlorine and stuff in it. I mean, but you need to filter it anyhow. You need to get all the, like you said, there's no telling what ground contaminants are in it. Here's a lighter story. This I got a kick out of this one. I should get a kick out of it. Apparently these guys up here in Minneapolis, they've got their heads all screwed on backwards, apparently. And some of them, not everybody, but a bunch of them do. A southern Minnesota woman is now facing felony charges after she allegedly kicked out an Uber driver's windshield and damaged his cell phone and commanded her dog to kill the responding police officer. Now, I got to read you the story. This is going to get a kick out of this one. Mary Catherine Boetcher, B-O-E-T-T-C-H-E-R, 36 of Mankato, now she looks pretty rough in this picture, is charged with fourth-degree assault against a peace officer, obstructing the legal process of first-degree damage to property, according to documents filed in Blue Earth County. The charges stem from the night of December the 30th when she said, the officials say, an Uber driver called 911 after a woman kicked out his windshield and broke his cell phone before heading inside her home. A witness of the Uber told police the woman was intoxicated and freaked out when the Uber driver got close to her house. According to the criminal complaint, officers responded to the home to support the Uber driver, and the woman was identified as this Boetcher lady. When the officer knocked on the door, Boetcher answered but refused to step outside to talk. When the officer stuck his foot in the door to prevent it from being shut, Boetcher ordered her 25-pound dog to kill him several times. Okay, I'm not joking, guys. This is not a joke. 25-pound dog. The dog actually then attacked the officer. This 25-pound dog had been attack trained. The dog attacked the officer's legs. Meanwhile, he tried to pull Boetcher from the house, but the effort caused him to slip, resulting with the two, him and Boetcher, tumbling into the front yard, and then the dog continued to attack the officer. Once outside, another officer was able to handcuff Boetcher while his colleague got control of the 25-pound dog. The complaint states that the animal left him with five bite wounds on his legs, some of which were bleeding. I mean, okay, it's not bad enough you got police officers up there shooting people in their pajamas, that you've got Muslims riding in the streets with no-go zones. Now you've got drunken women kicking out Uber windshields and basically telling 25-pound dogs to attack the police. Quite frankly, that had been the last breath of air that dog had ever gotten from me. If he'd have started biting my leg, I'd have just shot the stupid thing. What an unbelievable mess we've got going on up there. And guys, are you happy yet with your liberal mindset and all the things that you do up there? How bad does it have to get before you guys decide up in Minnesota that Ginook is Ginook, which means enough is enough? And which really bothers me too, because a lot of the people in Minnesota originally were from German origin, German ethnic backgrounds. And for me, this doesn't make any sense that these guys have allowed themselves to go down to a situation where 25-pound dogs attacked officers as they tumble into the front yard as drunks kick out windshields and Uber cars, Austin. I had to cover this story because it was so ridiculous. But what do you think?
Yeah, it is. I mean, and you know, you got to be in a weird predicament because you got to think about it from the officer standpoint. You're sitting there dealing with a belligerent drunk. Now you have a little 25-pound dog that's attacking you. So you're sitting there going, well, I could shoot him right now. The issue is if I shoot him, I'm going to have to file a report for discharging my firearm. And it's such a small dog, he's biting me right now. I possibly may shoot myself in the foot if I don't hit him in a clear shot. And then I'm going to have to deal with being on the media of shooting my foot and a dog that tried to bite me that was 25 pounds in the front yard. And then on top of that, you fall back and tumble in with the dog. That was just a rough night for that officer. I'm sure he was not expecting that when he went out on patrol. And I have to give him credit, though. At least he showed restraint and didn't shoot that dog. I don't think I would have done that well with having a dog that aggressive on me, even that small. I would have just gotten sick of it. However, though, I have to give him credit for that and not shooting that dog, because it would have gone nowhere but positive. It would have gone no place positive for him at all, shooting a dog of that size in the front yard, especially after all the garbage they've had about that Somalian officer up there shooting that unarmed woman in the in that alleyway. That needs to keep getting brought up. I brought that up numerous times. It needs to continue to get brought up. That is a situation that is very, very frustrating to me, because you have a law enforcement officer that, as of right now, from what we're seeing from the current evidence, had no legitimate right whatsoever to kill an American citizen on American soil that was unarmed. That bothered me, man, and that still bothers me. And the fact that he's unwilling to cooperate and that nobody's filing a civil suit against him or wrongful death or anything like that, I really hope that that family brings him to justice, because the last thing I want to see is them allow him to be back on the police force under some stupid Somalian refugee Muslim act. They say, well, we can't really get rid of him, or we can't really fire him, because then he can basically sue us for wrongful dismissal or something stupid like that. So I really hope that stays in the limelight and he is brought up. At least we know what the truth is on that, and we can find out what really happened in that situation, Dad.
I think about it, officer. The officer who had this 25-pound dog chewing on his leg showed more restraint than a lady standing there talking to the police officers in her pajamas. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
By the way, top-selling German newspaper says new online hate speech laws must be scrapped. Wow. At least the people are having enough of this. They're saying it had an inverse effect, and it has not, and has helped the anti-migrant party, and it's making more and more people hate migrants in Germany, and they need to scrap this online hate law. Guys, I love you. Hope you enjoyed the show today. Man, these hours go by quick. I appreciate you. I thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. It takes a lot of work to put these shows together. I mean, hours every single day, plus the amount of time, plus the cost of the production. So thank you so very, very much for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for... If you don't get anything else from us, just get your multiple vitamins. And when you do that, it makes what we do so much easier, because then we don't have an overhead associated with the production. So thank you for that. Thank you for getting your multiples from us. I'll be back on Hagman tomorrow night covering a whole bunch of new topics that you guys are going to love. If Austin doesn't have a BA, if Austin's not having a baby tomorrow night, he'll be on with me, or his wife having a baby. And if Sharon's not being at the baby thing, she'll be on. Otherwise, I may be running 3 hours solo. But guys, I love you. I appreciate you. You guys are the best. Thank you. Thank you for your prayers. Austin, go ahead and close. I'll do the write-up.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the support, guys. If you need anything, be sure to check out the website, healthmasters.com, or give us a call, 1-800-726-1834. The product of the week right now, it basically, one, is the Ultimate Immune Booster. You can read up on that. It's over 10% off right now. And be sure to vote on the product you want to win for next week. Right now, the HGH Stimulate is currently up for winning next week, which that's always a huge seller, very popular product that we have. So we appreciate everything, guys. Thank you for your support. You have a wonderful, blessed night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.